All right, you guys got Romans chapter 1, verse 25? All right, so we are in a series called At the Movies, and the movie that we saw this week, what we're doing is watching a movie on Wednesday night, and then on Sunday morning sharing biblical truths from that movie. But if you haven't seen the movies, it's really okay, because what we're going to do is we are going to explain to you what happened in a movie. So for people like Pastor Jen, who don't, she hates not knowing how the movie's going to turn out. Don't worry, I'm going to have some spoiler alerts if you haven't already seen it. The movie for this week is the movie The Case for Christ. It's a movie about a reporter, Lee Strobel, who was an investigative reporter. He had a law degree, and he was very much an atheist, and his wife became a Christian. And when she became a Christian, he decided that he was going to go on this mission to prove her faith wrong. And the story is so powerful because he goes through this investigative process and puts Jesus Christ on trial. And what's amazing about the story is, spoiler, at the end, he determines, based on all of his proof, that his wife was right. There really is a Jesus, and he gave his life to Christ. And so what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be talking about this story, but I have a little bit of a twist to it. So let's start off by reading the scripture. You ready? Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 25. If you would do me a favor, stand one more time. Well, maybe like three more, but at least one more during the sermon. stand one more time out of reverence for the word of God. If you have your Bible or your electronic devices, hold them high in the air. If you don't have either one of them, stick your hand in there, because we're going to give you the scriptures anyway. But let's say our Bible affirmation together. You ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But for the sake of us reading together, let's read it aloud and loudly together from this version. You ready? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would move me aside. Holy Spirit, that you would come in and that you would simply have your way. Lord, speak to us this day. Help us to understand the power of trading truths. And help us, oh God, to grab hold of your truth in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The title of my message today is Trading Truth. Trading Truth. So we're going to be discussing this movie, The Case for Christ. And I thought about, there were so many elements of this movie that we could talk about. We could talk about the fact that there was a wife who loved her unbelieving husband so much that she stayed faithful to believing God's promises even when he was mean and nasty to her. But I said, we're not going to talk about that. We could talk about the fact that God loved him so much that God was patient, even though he was seeking and asking these difficult questions and waiting for him to come to God. God was patient, but we're not going to talk about that. We could talk about the power of relationships in Christ with the friends that exist, because the woman had a great woman of God who was her friend who stayed with her throughout this experience, but we're not going to talk about that. We could talk about the overwhelming evidence that supports the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For instance, we could talk about the historical evidence that over 500 people saw Jesus after the crucifixion and after the resurrections. We could talk about the fact that there were eyewitness writings that were within months of Jesus' resurrection to prove that he actually got up. We could actually talk about all the manuscripts. The Iliad had 1,100 years between its original text and the actual ones that they found, but the New Testament Greek had only 30 years between the original text and when they actually found writings, and that there were over 5,843 fragments of the New Testament, but only 1,500 copies of the Iliad, and yet people believe in the Iliad more than they believe in the Bible. We could talk about the medical evidence that proves that Jesus died on the cross, but we're not going to talk about that. I thought about all the things we could really deal with. And what I thought about the most that I felt was a word for our church was this issue of trading truths. It's about lying. And not just lying to other people, but lying to ourselves. Let's be honest. Don't raise your hand, parents, but how many parents have lied to your children? Now, we don't want to say I've lied to my children, but I'm going to tell you, I've lied to my children. Don't look at me crazy. Don't judge me. Don't throw side eyes at me because y'all have done it too. I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but if I'd asked you to raise your hand, so many parents would have their hand up. I've lied to my children. And it wasn't like I felt like I was telling these blatant lies, but there are moments when I feel like, you know, I can't tell you the real truth. Like, for instance, I hate the ocean. I love it to see it, but I hate to get in it. The reason I don't like to get in the ocean is because the ocean, I can't swim well. So when you can't swim well, you ought not to be in the ocean. Now, I can swim, but I can't swim well. But I didn't want my children to grow up with a fear of the ocean. So I said, you'll be all right. You can go out there in the ocean. Deep down inside, I'm trembling. Y'all gonna die if y'all get in that ocean water. But because I don't want to tell them the truth about how I feel, I lie and I say, you will be just fine. Y'all can go play in the water. Look, don't go too far, but have some fun. Mom, you gonna get in with me? Oh, no. Because the truth of the matter is, y'all swim way better than I do. If something go down, every man for himself, every herd for themselves, you're going to have to get up out of this on your own. So a couple years ago, we went on vacation, and we were in Maui. And what do you do when you're in Maui? You got to go to the beach. And I like to sit and look at the water, but I ain't going. I mean, I'll be in a cute bathing suit, but I ain't getting in that bad boy. My kids said, we want to go play in the water. I said, y'all go play in the water. You'll be all right. That's such a lie. And on the inside, I'm going, they're not going to make it back, Jesus. It's all right. It's been a good run. They go and get in the water. They start playing. You know, they just on the little edge of the, you know, the beach is still there. And things are going good. And they got, I think they had a little boogie board or something they playing with. And all of a sudden, a wave comes in and the undercurrent sweeps Josh back. And the water comes over him. And I'm on the beach going, oh, my God, he about to die. Somehow or another, he gaggles for enough water to, air to come back up, finds his way back out of the water. Jeffrey drags him. He comes back laughing. Josh almost drowned. Did you see it? I lie and say no, because I don't want them to know that I actually saw this and almost had a heart attack. And Josh was like, oh, my God. But I also don't want him to be afraid to go back in the water. I said, but you didn't die. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You can go back. Josh said, I ain't going back in that water. I don't care what you do to me. And I realized that in those moments when we're afraid and in those moments when we're scared and in those moments when things are going kind of out of control, we lie. We lie to ourselves to tell ourselves something that's going to comfort us through the experience. The problem with that is we're not telling the truth. We're actually trading a truth for a lie in those moments because the lie is more comfortable. And I suggest to you, just like Lee Strobel held on to this lie that God wasn't real because it was more comfortable, many of us are holding on to a lot of lies because those lies are way more comfortable than facing and dealing with the truths. So I want to show you how Jesus had to deal with this in Scripture. I love this passage in Romans because it talks about a lot, but it blatantly tells us what we do. It says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? Now, most of us are looking at that and we're going, there's absolutely no way. Who would do that? Who would absolutely knowingly know that this something is a lie, exchange a truth for a lie? Who would exchange a perfectly good truth for a lie? But we do it all the time. There are some lies that we have learned so well that they feel true even more than the truth does to us. And I want to show you this in the Bible where Jesus had to deal with the enemy talking to him. And I want to say this, that sometimes the enemy doesn't sabotage your life with a lie because he knows you're too smart to fall for a lie. But what he'll do is he'll give you a truth and twist just enough so that you'll hold on to it. But we can only be set free when we really experience real truth. And Jesus knew the truth because Jesus was the truth. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus is in the wilderness. Now remember, Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1 says that the Word became flesh and the flesh dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word. So if anybody knows the Word well, it's Jesus because he is the Word. So here's Jesus, and here's what's interesting. I love this passage. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, I had a problem with this passage when I read it, and I don't know if you have the same problem I have, because it's tough for me to believe that the Spirit of God led Jesus into a wilderness to be tempted. If you have been told that God won't lead you into difficult times, you've been lied to. If you've been told that God won't lead you into a difficult situation, you have been lied to. If you have been told that the will of God means that everything is perfect in your life, you have been lied to. If you have been told that following the path of God and the purpose of God for your life means that there won't be any problems, then you have been lied to. And some of us have to acknowledge the fact that we've been living not understanding that the difficult situations we're in, God has led us right into them. I don't want to believe that because how could a loving God lead me into a difficult time? Did you see that passage? If the Holy Spirit will lead Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted, what you think he going to do to you? Some of us sitting here going through rough times, blaming the devil. Stop blaming the devil. Jesus is saying you need to go through this. The devil did it. No, the devil didn't do it. The Holy Spirit wants you to go through this test. And you're like, I don't like that, Pastor. You ain't got to like it. This is what the Bible say. Because watch, it's more comforting for me to believe that the devil is doing this to me than for me to understand that God is working something out in me in the middle of this. But Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This passage is just as much about trusting God as it is about temptation. And here's the thing. Truth is not about the truth you can quote. It's not about the truth that you know mentally. I know the truth. I know the Word of God. I know what this is. No, it's not about that. It's about the truth that guides your life that you actually follow and do. That's real truth. So some of us think we are following the truth. But God is like, when I put you in a wilderness, you're going to figure out which truth you really following. I realize that God believes in us. He really believes we can handle going through these tough times. Matter of fact, think about Job. The devil, the Bible says, if you read the book of Job, Job was a man who had everything going for him, and then things start falling apart. Why did it start falling apart? It started falling apart because the devil was roaming to and from the earth, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's upright and upstanding. He's got it. He can do it. And the devil said, oh, no, but if you take everything from Job, he ain't going to serve you. God said, well, go ahead. Do whatever you want to do, but don't touch the man. Nobody wants to believe that part happens to us. The stuff we're going through often is because God says, I believe in you, but I need to show you what you value and what you think is truth. Oops. God, I don't know why I'm struggling to deal with this situation. It's because God's trying to show you something. Y'all ever remember seeing them old workout videos, you know, with like Richard Simmons and the Tybo videos? You ever seen people who love watching those workout videos, but they don't actually work out? They be eating bowls of ice cream while they watching them. They're like, man, this is good. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, go on, Richard. Do it, Billy Blanks. Get it on. And they eat ice cream. And I've seen people like this, and I ask them, I'm sorry, I'm a little confused, but why are you watching a workout video and eating ice cream? And you know what they say? They'll say, so I'll know what I'm supposed to do. Wait, you watching a workout video eating ice cream so you'll know what you're supposed to do. How about you just do what you're supposed to do? Instead of watching a workout video. And I think that's what God is saying, is that some of us know what we're supposed to do, but we don't do what we're supposed to do. And so here God is in this situation where he wants to say, I'm going to take you through a trial because I don't want you to just know what you know. I want you to do what you know. Because knowing what you know ain't enough if you don't do what you know. Oh, this, y'all, yeah. See, y'all, you can understand this when you talk about children. Tell the children, you know, when you go to school, don't cheat because you already know the stuff. Well, I know the stuff, but when I get into the room, I still cheat. You know why? Because I'm not really sure if I know it. So I didn't do what I know. Okay, I'm off of topic. Let me move on. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, 3. So here we are, Jesus led into the wilderness. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. How many of y'all know how hungry can you get if you ain't ate for 40 days? And the Bible makes it clear, just in case you thought he ate at night and 40 nights. Some of us get hangry after 3 hours. But you're talking about 40 days and 40 nights he haven't eaten. And the Bible says, just in case you think that he was perfectly holy, still God, and was not human, it says afterward he was hungry. I think the Bible didn't justify hungry. I think they should have added Shane of hungry. He was hangry. I would have been like so mad at him. It's probably why he was by himself, because he would have been, Jesus would have been cussing everybody out because he was hangry. But it says now after 40 days and 40 nights and he's hungry, the tempter comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. How many times do we get tempted the same way? What are you talking about, Pastor? What you need to understand is a few verses up, Jesus had just been baptized. The dove opens up the heavens. God speaks and says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. You are my child. That means God spoke identity to Jesus before he went in the wilderness, but then he sent him in the wilderness to get tested, and the test started out about identity. Who are you? If, now here's the truth, Satan is saying, look, I know you heard you're the Son of God, but let me just say this, if you are the Son of God, if you really are who you are saying you are. But what I love about Jesus is when you know the truth, you don't have to prove it to nobody else. When you know the truth about who God, that's why I love that song we sung this morning. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I know who you say I am. I like putting those kinds of declarations in the air because the enemy, when you leave here, is going to try to tell you everything you are not. Well, if you are supposed, look, if you really are God's child, if you really are a child of God, why are you still cussing? And you like, oh, no. If you really are a child of God, why you still be lying to your kids? Oh, no. If you really are a child of God, how come you still acting that way? Ever notice when you leave church, it really tests everything you just heard? I be preaching these good messages on patience and peace. And then I get in my car and some crazy driver, I kid you not, they always drive crazy on Sundays right after church with me. Right in front of me. And I'd be like, whoa, oh, man, I got to put into action what I just got. But that's what the enemy does. He says, if you are the Son of God. And he does something interesting. He says, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones, command these stones to become bread. I said, first of all, Satan is throwing out a semi-truth. The truth, the real truth is I am the Son of God. The real truth is Jesus can turn stones to bread. Why is he testing that? And here's what I got. Not only is he testing his identity, but he's testing his trust. Do you trust me in this moment? Do you trust God in this moment? If God really is who he says he are, if you really are who you say you are, do you trust God right now, right where you are in the middle of this situation? Because if you don't trust, then turn these stones to bread. You know what turning stones to bread is about? Substitution. Substitution. God has a plan for you, but don't follow that plan. Substitute it for something else. Because if you substitute it for something else, you can get to God's plan faster without God. Let me see if I can help you. Substitution works like this. Premarital sex. I know kids are in the room, but y'all need to know this. God says don't do it before you get married. Are you old enough to hear that? Right? But the substitution is, I don't want to wait for that. So I'm going to substitute and do it anyway so I can get what I want and I can have what I want because I don't trust God to wait. But I know the truth. What does the truth say? The Bible says don't do it. But what do? I exchange the truth for a lie. I don't want to wait. The world is all about exchanging the truths. Okay, that's a good one. That's an easy one. How about this one? How about, you know, this is a good one. God's going to bless you with a better job. You know God's going to bless you with a better job. But he's telling you to wait. It's not time to move. I want you to stay right where you are with that crazy boss that you can't stand, that don't like you and you don't like them. You can't move yet. And what do? We go looking for new jobs. Because if I can go get a new job and get out, but God says, I ain't tell you to leave this job yet. No, God, I'm ready to go. Now, I don't care if you're ready to go. My truth is, if you trust me, you'll stay here and you'll wait. But what we'll do is we'll substitute and we'll go get not even a better job, not even a better paying job, just a job away from that boss. Yeah. And then we wonder why this ain't the job you promised me, God. God said, I also never told you to change these stones to bread, but you did it anyway. Now, here's the catch about changing stones to bread. It's not a sin to change the stones to bread. You don't see anywhere in scripture where it says, do not change stones to bread. So Satan wasn't trying to tell him to do a sin. There's nowhere in scripture where it says you cannot take stones and turn them into bread. Nowhere. Satan's words look like a good truth. Yeah, it ain't in scripture. I can do that. I ain't never really seen that nowhere else. It's okay to lie to your kids. It's just a, watch this. It's just a little white lie. I don't know why we say a little white lie ain't still a lie. A lie is a lie. But I don't want to trust God. So I'll substitute. And I'll go find my own thing. And the world is flashing substitutes in front of you and calling them truths. It's so easy to do what you want to do now. Let me continue. So here's what Jesus does. Now remember, this is the word. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written. Wait a second. So Satan says, if you're the Son of God, he starts attacking a truth with a truth twisted. And Jesus comes back with the truth by saying, here's what the word of God says. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The proof that something is truth is not that you can say amen to it or that you can understand it, but that it's solid and you can live on it. So Satan's truth, yeah, if you are the Son, you can change it. That wasn't solid. But Jesus' truth, no, but the word of God says, I'm going to depend on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So I ain't trusting you right now. A lot of stuff sounds good, but it ain't true. You ever heard this saying, curiosity kills the cat? Have you ever seen statistics that prove that cats that are inquisitive die faster than cats who are not inquisitive? But you like the saying, curiosity kills the cat. As a matter of fact, most of us have said it, heard it, shared it with a curious child because you want them to stop being curious because they're getting on your last nerve. You know, curiosity kills the cat. And the kids are like, oh, okay, cats are going to die. I might die if I'm curious. Curiosity ain't killing nobody. But the saying sounds good, so we accept it as true. Oh. How about this one in the church? When the praises go up, the blessings come down. So you in church like. Anybody else got a blessing right now? I don't see it. And we're struggling. There are a lot of stuff we have been. That is, by the way, you cannot find that in scripture nowhere. You don't believe me? Go try to find it. But because we've been taught it so much in the church. Let me tell you this. The reason why I want everybody to come to this church with a Bible, I love that we have this, the stuff on the screens, but the reason I want you to come to church with a Bible is because I'm hoping you'll read it. Because if you'll read get it, then you'll stop depending on me and accepting everything I say. I don't want you to accept everything I want you to say. I want you to accept everything God's word says. And I want this church to be, there's a church in the Bible called the Berean Christians who challenged and looked up everything that they were being told. Because they wanted to make sure that what they were getting was the truth. In that movie, The Case for Christ, I wasn't even mad at the man. I was mad that he was mean to his wife. But I wasn't mad that he was asking these hard questions about God. Do you not know God's not mad if you ask him hard questions? What he wants is for you to come to him in search of the real truth. Not coming to him because you're looking to get an amen for what you want to do. Y'all don't want me to say that. See, some of us come to church because we want the church to agree with what we're doing. And we will search churches until we find a church that says exactly what we want the church to hear. That ain't this church. What I want you to do is I want you to get in the word and I want you to see what God's word says. And I want you to understand that we're going to make some mistakes. But when we make mistakes, we're going to come back to truth. And we're going to let truth be the guiding force on the mistakes. It ain't going to be just because you feel this way or I feel this way. No, the truth is God's word says this and that's what we're going to stand on. So you ought to be searching the scriptures. You ought to be curious. You ought to be asking those questions. You ought to be seeking because you want to find the truth, not because you're trying to find something to align with your experience. Just because it's aligned with your experience, don't make it true. Okay. All right. All right, Pastor. I don't like this. I don't like this. Watch this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then check out what Satan says. For it is written. So Jesus says, you want to use for it's written. Let me pull out for it's written. And then he pulls out Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 through 12. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan perfectly quotes the scripture. The enemy doesn't just attack Jesus with a lie, but he attacks Jesus with a Bible verse. Come on. How many times have you found a scripture to support your wrongdoing? Don't act like it ain't possible. It's so possible. I've had people get married, had no business getting married, because they said the Bible says it's better to marry than it is to burn. And I don't want to be burning. I'm in heat. Yeah. you got that part of the scripture right. But see, that's the enemy lying to you. Because the Bible also tells you that you ought not to be unequally yoked. And this person ain't even saved. But I like that verse, Pastor. I really like it's so true. I know it's true. But it's the devil using scripture to lie to you. Some of us don't believe that's even possible. I get so angry because if you think Satan don't know scripture, you got a problem. Who you think come to church the most? Satan be all up in church, sitting on the front row with a book, a notebook, pen, and paper, talking about, come on, bring the word. Because if I get the right word, I'm going to use it right back and twist it so that, oh, come on, y'all missing it. And I'm not just talking about the physical stuff. I'm talking about how many times I've had so many people come to me and make life decisions that I knew were against God because they had a sign from God. Well, Pastor, Gideon asked for a sign. If the fleece was dewy, then he went. If the fleece wasn't dewy, then he died. I don't even know how the story go. But they use that because I asked for a sign. And I was driving down the street, and I saw a cross on the hill next to the chicken shack. And I knew God said, go eat that chicken. Because when I went to eat that chicken, I was going to be free from my addiction to fried chicken. I mean, I know this is wild and crazy, but you guys understand what I'm saying. We We hear the truths we want to hear. And Satan specializes in making sure you hear that truth well. Here's the real truth. Jesus heard Psalm 91. Many times we are stuck between two truths. One is the truth of my situation, and one is the truth of my revelation. One is the truth of what I'm going through, and the other is the truth of who's standing with me while I go through it. I have two truths. It's the here's the thing. Jesus says in verse 7, it's written again. This is his response. So, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Some versions, different versions, and a different translation will say, he says, it is also written. In other words, what you have said is true, but I know something truer. It's true I've made some mistakes in my life, but it is also true that my greatest mistake can become my greatest miracle. Paul said it very well. Paul says, it is true that I'm pressed on every side, but it is also true I'm not crushed. Paul says, it is true that I am perplexed, but it is also true I ain't in despair. It is true that I've been persecuted, but it's also true I have not been forsaken. It's true I've been struck down, but it's also true I'm not destroyed. See, it is also written, says, I got a better word on the situation than the word, Satan, you're trying to give me. That is also truth. I did it, but I'm not the it that I did. Oh, I know the difference. It's a means of survival. Many of us, watch this. Remember I told you we lie to ourselves because it's a means of survival in difficult situations. What happens is we begin to tell ourselves a story so that we can survive the situation instead of understanding and telling ourselves the truth of what God says in the middle of our story. Because it is easier for you to reject yourself in advance instead of being rejected by somebody else. I call it projection. Instead of dealing with the reality of rejection and healing from rejection, you begin to tell yourself a story, the old story about why people reject you. You tell yourself a story about how worthless you are, or how you don't need anybody, or how it's easier for you to be alone, and how it's easier for you to do this your own way, and how I never liked them people no way. It's easier to do that than to stay alone because I have to be vulnerable to be able to be in connection with someone, and I don't want to do that. So I'd rather be stuck in my old story than embrace the truth of what God is saying to me about the situation. So we lie to ourselves and we exchange the truth of what God is saying for the lie of our own stories because our own stories are comfortable, and that's how we have learned in the past to get through difficult things, by depending on those lies we've told ourselves in the past. But Jesus says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let me tell you this. My story is my truth, but it's not the truth. What you've been calling your truth is just your story. It ain't the truth. The question I want you to ask today, and the reason why I wanted to bring so many people here today, I was hoping so many of you would come so you would get this. I pray people are listening by podcast because this is transformative. Here's the crux of this message. Have you become a slave to your own story to the extent that you now think your own story is your truth? In the movie Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, he had old stories about his father, about the fact that his father wasn't there, about the fact that his father didn't love him. He hated his father. He didn't want to be around his father. He felt like his father didn't love him. But when his father died, he found out a new truth. The new truth was his father had been following his career all along. He had all of his newspaper clippings. He actually kept one of his articles in his wallet, demonstrating that he cared and that he loved him. But see, it was easier for Lee to hold on to his old story than to risk being rejected by his father again. So when he came confronted with the truth that God loves him, he struggled with that truth. Instead of risking rejection with God, he played the same story tape back about his father. Well, if my father didn't love me and my father rejected me, then God, how can you love me? And how, I know you're going to reject me too. How could there be a God who is loving and we call him a good, good father when my own father wasn't? He runs into this psychologist, and I love this point because the psychologist is an atheist as well. And the atheist psychologist says to him, do you have an issue with your father? And he was like, what does that got to do with anything? And she says this, she says, most avid intellectual thinkers and atheists were people who had daddy problems. Because their stories from their past were their truths that blocked them from seeing the truth of God. This is so important because it's not just atheists who go through this. Over the past few months, God has been dealing with me about my own story I've been telling myself. You see, my husband passed away 10 and a half years ago, and my own story that I've been telling myself is I never want to get married again. It's too hard. It's too painful. Marriage is hard. That is a truth. But I was sitting in this, well, it's easier to be single. As a matter of fact, not only is it easier to be single, look at what I get to do because I'm single. And I've been telling myself the story. Why? Because that story gave me comfort to help me get through these difficult times. It was easier for me to tell myself that story than to tell myself the story. Because here's a story I would tell. I was lucky to get to find love once. Some people never get it their whole lives. I found my true love. Watch this. God was like, girl, do you not think I can do something else again? There are a lot of single people in this room who have been lying to themselves because you're saying, yeah, it's more comfortable to stay single than it is to go take a risk and be vulnerable and open myself up again. Even though God may say, I have a promise for you for something, I don't want to, that's the truth, but yeah, I like my truth better. There are married people who are sitting in a truth that this is the best my marriage can ever be. It's a lie. It's a lie. We are sitting in some lies that we are holding on to. And I'm here today because God is saying, what if I have something better? What if there's a promise I'm trying to give you, but I can't get it because you're still holding on to that lie about yourself? What if the lie is, nobody's ever going to love me? Look at me. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've been through. And your truth shows it because you ain't never dated nobody. You never had nobody worth. All the people that came was these no-down, dirty, no-good folks in your life. So you're like, look, God, it proves it. Nobody worth anything would ever love me. But God says, you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You're my works. I know that. I'm a good, good father. What good, good father doesn't want to see their child, come on, somebody, loved and cared for by someone else? God cares about us. He's crazy about us, but our stories are so comfortable because my story gives me comfort to get through those difficult nights. I can hold on to the lie that it's because I'm not lovable, but it's harder for me to take a risk and say, God, it's because you have something for me. I'm going to open myself up and try. We don't try. We pre-reject ourselves. We pre-reject ourselves before we allow God to do anything else. And God wanted me to destroy the pre-rejection today. He says, you will know the truth. That don't mean you can quote it. That means I can trust it and stand on it. And when I trust it and stand on it and live in it, then that truth will set me free. See, this is what happens when Jesus was faced with the truth of turning the stone to bread. Jesus says, I can do that. Look, I can be alone. I can be in a marriage that's unfulfilled. I can stay on this job. I can go do what I want to do with my partner when I want to do it with my partner. But watch this. But Jesus said, I'm not going to substitute that sin for the truth because I don't trust that story anymore. We're faced with the truth. What's the truth about sex outside of marriage? What's the truth about lying? What's the truth about cheating? What's the truth about my marriage? Don't start substituting anymore. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus is the truth. So if I were to substitute in that passage, you shall know Jesus, and Jesus shall set you free. What does God want you to do? He wants you to get to know him better. And as you get to know him better, he speaks truth to you about who you are. And then you can depend on that versus depending on the stories you've told yourself. Oh, there's so much more I want to tell you about this. Watch this. Here is a lie that we hear a lot. And I'm going to end on this because it's so powerful. Remember, Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Right after that, verse 33 in John 8:33, he's telling this to the children of Israel and they answer and they say, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? These were Israelites who were enslaved for 400 years, were now serving not in the place that God had called them to be, but under Roman authority, were waiting for Christ, for the Savior to come and set them free. And yet when confronted with you shall know the truth and know the truth shall set you free, they hold back and hold on to the lie. Look, we Abraham's children. We never been in bondage. Y'all lying for 400 years. You was in Egypt. Look at how they lying to themselves. How can you say you shall make us free? You shall be made free. Sometimes I lie to myself so much that my lies are so much truer than the real truth. I didn't willingly exchange the truth for a lie, but certain lies just became so comfortable that I learned to love them. Watch this. Self-pity is a lie that we love. Nobody checks on me. Nobody cares about me. You know why? Because I really don't want to check on nobody, so I tell myself that lie. So instead of facing the truth that I don't want to check on anybody, I would rather lie to myself and tell myself the story that nobody is checking on me because that's more comfortable. Y'all see how we do this in our everyday relationships? They don't love me. They don't. No, the real reason is you don't want to be open and vulnerable and you don't want to try to reach out to somebody else. So you hide behind they don't love me. They don't care about me. We don't want to face truths. We want to face what we see and what's comfortable. And I come to break that up today. It's time to stop that. We have become slaves to our story, and God said it's time to set you free. How do we do this? Jesus did it. He said it is also written. Jesus came and he edited the ending. Here's what he did. He said, I understand that all of these rules were in place and sin would do this for you and you're supposed to die, but I'm going to edit the ending. I am going to come and I'm going to die for you. And I'm going to rise again so you don't have to ever do that again. He changed the story. Okay. Lee Strobel was an atheist, met Christ in the middle of searching with all these questions. And you know what he did when he finished? Anybody saw the end of the book, end of the movie? He wrote a book. He wrote a new ending to the story. You got an opportunity to write a new ending to your story today. There is a story that you've been lied to all your life about, and God says we're going to break that today, and we're going to write a new truth. We're going to write God's truth and give you a brand new ending, and you get to choose which truth you want to live and which truth you want to believe. Do you want to believe the truth of your past? Oh, you're such a liar. I used to be a liar, but I ain't no liar no more. You want to believe the truth of your past? You were an addict. I used to be an addict. Come on, somebody. But look, come on. I'm free now. I'm not an addict no more. I used to, y'all don't want to hear this. I used to talk about folks like a dirty dog, but I'm free now. I don't talk about nobody no more. I used to lie, cheat, and steal. I used to go sleep around. I used to not believe that God had something better for myself, but I'm not like that anymore. God has something better for me. God's going to do a work in me. So come on and stand to your feet, because today what I want you to deal with is, have you been trading truths? I love that movie, The Case for Christ, because there was also this story going on where there was a man who had shot a cop, and he got convicted, went to jail, and he was actually a snitch, and so he had gotten beat down in jail, and Lee went to investigate it. And when he went to investigate it, the first time, he was like, man, you guilty. He's like, that dude's guilty. He writes an article, and because of the article, the guy gets sentenced to prison, gets beat up in prison. But in the middle of this, Lee's starting to feel bad. He comes back to the guy, and he realized that the guy didn't shoot the cop, but that the cop had this illegal pin in his pocket that went off and shot himself. So the guy was really innocent. And when he discovered that, he went back to the man. He was in the hospital, beat up badly. And he says, I'm so sorry. It's my fault. I missed the truth. I didn't see it. And the man responded like this. He said, you didn't want to see it. This morning, I want to challenge you. What is your truth? And what are you saying? Could it be that you can't see what God is saying because you don't want to? Every head bowed and every eye closed. What truths are you trading? Today we're going to break that up. If you're here today and this message is searing you right in the middle of your chest, you know there are some areas of your life where you've been holding on to the stories of your own past and your own truths. But God is challenging that today. If that's you, I want you to come to the altar. If you're ready to say, God, I'm ready to make an exchange, I want to pray for you. We're going to pray that God releases you from that. Come on and come right now. If you've been holding on to a story, I'm not going to ask you what that story is. I don't need to know. I'm not going to ask you what you've been doing. I'm not going to ask you what lies you've been telling yourself. I don't know. What I know is there is a truth that's here to set you free today, and God wants to release you. I feel like some of us, we've been struggling in areas because we've been believing lies about ourselves for far too long. God's releasing that. So here's what I'm asking you to do. If you're at the altar, lift your hands up. If you're not, can you just extend your hands towards them? We want to pray for those who are at the altar. Father, I thank you for those with their hands lifted right now. We come with our hands lifted saying, God, here's my story. I know it happened to me. I know that it's true that it happened to me. But God, I've been holding this story as a crutch for way too long. I've been believing more in this story than I've been believing in your word. I have chosen to see this my own truth and not to see your word as truth. Yes, it is written that I've done some things. Yes, it is written that I've messed up. Yes, it is written that bad things have happened to me. Yes, that is all written. But it is also written that you have a plan for my life. That greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That God, you know, oh God, so much more about what you desire me. It is also written that I am powerful inside of you, Lord, because, Lord, I have the power to trample over the enemy in my life. It is also written that where I'm weak, you are strong. It is also written, God, that I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. It's also written, God, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It's also written that you know your works and your plans for me full well. God, right now, I'd make the great exchange. I'm trading truths. I'm trading my life for truth, for your absolute truth. I'm no longer taking my lies anymore, and I'm releasing them to you. Father, break break every lie about ourselves. Break every lie that the enemy has twisted in our truths and bring us freedom right now. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God, every time the enemy tries to show us what has been written and those messed up stories, remind us of your absolute truth and bring freedom. This is a painful message, God, because we're confronted with lies about ourselves. Lies, nobody wants to believe we've been believing a lie. It feels fake, it feels false, it feels awful. But God, I thank you that when we start believing in your truths, we get set free. We get delivered. I pray that bondages are broken, yokes are released right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you just lift your hands, those of you that are at the altar, and just say, I receive God's truth and not my own. I choose, oh, what a powerful word. I choose to believe the truth of God and his word about me and about my situation. And I declare that I've received it and I'm now free. I'm free from the lies of my truth. And I'm free to receive God's promises for my life. Now come on and just begin to give God a hand praise. Can you give God a praise out there? Let's just bless God for that. I know this was a tough message. Our prayer team is going to come on up. Come on up, prayer team. If you have a need for prayer after this message, come on up and ask them to pray for you. They'll be more than happy to help you. Let me pray for you and dismiss you this morning. I know this was not an easy message, but what I do also know is that God was trying to set some of us free from some stuff. So we thank you, God, for our freedom. Ha, whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed.